Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Best Ever You Show, and we're your hosts, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino and Dr. Katie Eastman. We're very excited to have Angelina Musick with us today, the founder of Momtrepreneurs. I'm going to goof on that word. I knew I would do it. Say it 10 times fast. Go. No.
Well, you know, if you say moms tripping on manure, that I have found has always helped.
That's hilarious.
That's great. I'm going to remember that one.
How do you remember
it? We're tripping
this?
On manure on the road to success.
Perfect.
So,
yeah.
There's a reason why we want to be tripping on manure, because when things stump us up in life, they come to our awareness and we're going, why did I not see that? We pay attention and we change.
Yep, absolutely. We were going to go right into a series with you. Do you still want to do that with us, the Believe in Achieve series?
Yes, and you know, the Believe and Achieve series, there are two versions. There's the simple version, and then there's now the Brainiac version, which has a lot of brain science behind the original version, which really it's just in the last 3 to 5 years that the neurological community and these different brain institutes and doctors and scientists out there have been able to provide proof of the basic principles that I use personally in my life since I was young. So they became habits, coping habits. And then when I started helping others, which I did that naturally out of not wanting to have people hurt by things like I had been hurt by things. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm an advocate for pain prevention in other people's lives.
Yeah.
And so I would, you know, I would go through this process and that I used in my own life, because I didn't want to be a hypocrite if I could ever not be, that we're all imperfect. And so it wasn't until my traumatic head injury in 2004 where I had to put, or I chose to put, this process into a tangible system, because for the first time, everything that I had been putting together, and I give my husband credit for being alongside me in Momtrepreneurs and in what we accomplished in 1 year, even though Momtrepreneurs started 20 years ago when my kids were 3 and 5. But when I had the wreck, and at that time, it was 5 days before I was filming for The Apprentice as a semifinalist, and being in front of a camera where it's like home for me to be there. It's very easy. I'm a shoot-by-the-hip kind of person. That's how God has wired me. For me to experience for the very first time, why is my brain and my mouth not connecting? Mm-hmm. And, of course, I couldn't be on the show in that capacity, but we did not realize the damage of the head injury. And for me, it was the back of my head that was hit on the headrest. So the next several months, the consequences, the symptoms, the attributes of what the doctors could not tell me. They couldn't say, well, you're going to have this for a while, and this is how you're going to deal with it. And then you're going to have that for a while, and that's how you're going to deal with it. When it comes to traumatic head injuries, they really don't know.
Right.
Because our brains are so unique, like our thumbprints. And so the first thing we didn't know is that for a month that I had cerebral spinal fluid dripping out of my nose. We thought maybe it was allergies, but a month later we find out it's not.
Ugh.
That wasn't a good thing. Then we noticed that, well, Daniel noticed, and I would say something to him, and I'm flipping my words around. almost becoming audio dyslexic.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at him conversing as if it sounds just fine to me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a, sometimes it was a complete word that I'd flip around, but most of the time, which was really unique, it was like, remember gibberish, how you, no, pig Latin. It's when you take the
right.
first letter, you stick it to the end, and you add that gutta guh.
Kind
well,
of like Serene Branson, probably that reporter who just had that happen to her live on the air, and
yeah.
she was suffering from a migraine, that type of thing, probably is probably pretty close to what you're describing.
And so the first letter, the consonant, would be reversed to the next word, and so it was like I was shifting the first letter of the word to the next word. And it was like, oh, my gosh, are you kidding? So we were filming my TV show at that time, and I figured, I don't know what's going on, but this is me right now, and we're going to document this. Of course, I'm stubborn as well. So like, we're going to have this happen no matter what. Something's got to come out of this. Plus, when we film it, I can go back and watch it, and I can start monitoring my speech patterns, my thinking patterns, and I can start learning maybe where I need to do research because I'm not getting any help from the doctors.
Right.
And so in the process, we did the TV show for 5 weeks, the Angelina Show, which was a motivational entrepreneurial show, and it hit the ratings like it needed, which was cool, and my challenge was how is the fastest way to grow a TV audience. And I had achieved that, and so then we retired the show so I could heal. And then it was a matter of documenting the process, me becoming my own observer of the process of recognizing patterns, recognizing frustrations, the post-traumatic stress, the hot flashes. Phone were a no-no now. Everything was set on vibrate, what could be set on vibrate. My sensitivity to noise was amazing. And unfortunately, my kids, it was hard on my kids because mom would forget they exist. And they knew mom wasn't well, but all of us knew mom wasn't well, but we didn't know what that meant. And so over the next year and a half, it was just a lot of paying attention, being aware, and creating a system to retrain what had worked before and so easily. And so I put to paper, okay, I know I have memory loss issues during this season of recovery, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to write out what I have always used, that has always worked, and I'm going to create a system in a tangible form, which mm-hmm. we call the Believe and Achieve principle. And it's behavioral, it's attitude, it's repetition. And so in its simplistic form, it's what have I done to achieve incremental success consistently with myself and with all my clients all these years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put it into a 7-point system. And then what I decided was, okay, I'm motivated when I'm helping people. I'm inspired. I love to do that. And I love sharing the stage with others. So we're going to put the radio show in place. So then we move forward with the Believe and Achieve radio show. And I was also aware what areas of my brain would light up during what pieces that I would do during the day. You know, whether it was drinking coffee, whether it was talking to somebody, whether it was doing a physical activity. I'd pretty much become aware of what lobe in my brain was going to light up and start restructuring itself, and how am I going to grow these dendrites that have been damaged? How am I going to modify the pathways so that I can strengthen the sheath? And
it's fascinating.
Cool.
Yeah, that's what they did with my dad with his stroke.
Oh, yeah.
To heal everything back together, yeah.
And so what has happened over the last couple of years is that the Believe and Achieve principles, the seven principles, which are based on action. Because I've had some people go, oh, you just believe, and then you achieve. Like, no, achieve is not the output. It's like achieving. You have stuff you have to do. You can't just go, I'm going to dream it, and ta-da, there it is.
Yeah.
There is a participatory aspect of it, and people don't know. That's the thing that's been, you know, really cool, is people don't know that they need to participate. And so the first element in the series is embracing responsibility and making that commitment. And the definition of that in itself is varies because of their core belief system. I mean, when we look at children and we scratch our head going, why are they not listening? Why are they not paying attention? Why are they not responding the way I want them to? And as parents, much less as adults, as parents, we don't know that before puberty kicks in, there's no serotonin, there's no dopamine, there's no noradrenaline that is turned on in their brain. So our expectations of them being responsible and committing to doing certain things is totally unrealistic because the software hasn't even been downloaded, or the gas hasn't even been put in yet, the right fuel to even make those processes happen.
So I have a question for you. You said can you go through the seven steps to your program first, and then can we go in just a little bit more detail into the first one? But can you cover all
you
of
bet.
Them first? Okay, go ahead. Just
well,
briefly
the
same them. Yeah.
Okay, the first one is about embracing responsibility and the commitment. The second is refining and understanding what a belief system is and what the core values come from. Do they come from arrested development, which are coping behaviors before we, we form those before
right.
the age of 11 that we then carry into adulthood? And if we've had traumatic events in our life happen, how sometimes that stuff kicks in earlier where we come to false conclusions and then we have grown-ups that are really children in big bodies.
Right.
And they're basing their life decisions and career decisions on childlike conclusions. So addressing the core of the belief system. Third is when you're understanding now, okay, the core of my belief system was based on blah, blah, blah. Oh, wow, okay, so now the work that I'm doing, what I think I'm passionate about, I need to revisit that to explore, am I passionate about doing something in my vocation because my mom has told me all these years that's what I should be doing? And I've just developed a habit of enthusiasm around what somebody else has projected on me, or is this truly my passion? And why? Why is it my passion? What are the attributes that support that or the evidences? Another is, it's who do you surround yourself with? Teaming with your positive team, whether they're dead or alive. Which, biographies, the people we read about, the people we interact with on a daily basis. Who do we keep? Who do we drop? Who do we distance ourselves from respectfully? And who do we draw ourselves to deliberately? Excuse me. And then the fifth point is, okay, we're going to live life deliberately. We're going to make distinctive choices because we've made a commitment as an adult. We now have an understanding about our belief system and what we need to change about it. We now know that when we've modified our belief system to truly reflect more of who we are, we can say, I am truly living and monetizing my passion. And those areas that I have challenges with, these are the people that I'm going to surround myself with that are going to help me with those challenges so that I am in my strength. I am moving in my strength, not in my weaknesses, because we are all wired differently. And collaboration and harmony moves us quicker and to succeed together than isolation. So point five, living life deliberately, is taking the previous elements and continuing to weave them and moving your game plan out in the short term and in the long term.
Okay,
yeah. And focusing on follow through would be six. What are our accountability strategies that we have put in place, from people to our spouse, to our children, to ourselves? How are we able to focus on following through consistently so that we see the results consistently and incrementally? And then we have celebrating our achievements. We want to celebrate our micro-achievements on a regular basis, not only because it helps us feel good, because we'll also go into what it continues to feed in a healthy manner back into our spirit, our brain, our heart, our attitudes, our behaviors, and how we give back to the community. And so we come full circle in the process. And when I have a Believe and Achieve session with someone, we usually start with a bag of M&Ms. We have to bring chocolate in there somehow.
Thank goodness for that. I was going to suggest cupcakes.
That'll work too, except those cupcakes have got to last for a while.
I'm just kidding. I'm on a cupcake thing today. Very funny.
Oh,
Keep
no.
Going, sorry.
Okay, pass me a cupcake.
I'm avoiding the cupcakes. The cupcakes have been... It's like everywhere I turn, there's a cupcake today, and it's hysterical. They're on TV, they're in the grocery store, they're everywhere.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh.
Anyway, sorry. Yeah, M&Ms.
M&Ms. Well, with the M&Ms, in one of the exercises, which I usually use in the first exercise, it's defining, well, there's six primary colors in the M&M bag, and whether it's M&Ms or Skittles. And so in order for this process to be fun and simple and interactive, I encourage people to get a big bag of six Ziploc bags. And we're going to divide your M&Ms into six bags of colors. And I generally recommend, let's maybe put seven M&Ms in each of those bags, six or seven M&Ms in each of those bags. Not all, a whole bunch, because, again, it can become overwhelming if we're trying to address too many things at one time. And so the goal of the game is to, at the very end, have as few M&Ms as possible, eating them along the way. And so each of these six categories represent an area of value in a person's life, an area of priority, let's say family, things that you want to improve upon, family, your financial well-being, your health, maybe it's your education, maybe it's work, maybe it's fitness, you know, what are those six categories that you want to focus on, let's say, in the next 60 to 90 days? And when you make a decision and you write down, okay, these are the categories I'm going to focus on. What's nice is we don't have to remember all this, because when you write it down and you put it on your fridge and you have your bags of M&Ms out where you can find them, but not necessarily your kids, because they'll, oh, Mom, can I help you with this? It's actually a fun exercise to do with your kids, because you're role modeling what commitment and responsibility is to improve upon areas in your life, and they can do the same in theirs. So it's a great exercise to do with your kids. And when I consult with my clients, the goal is to keep things fun and fast and childlike, because I have found that if I can keep things in that manner, the true essence of the person will continue to reveal itself. They don't have to be professional. They don't have to try and impress anybody.
Crayons are always good for that too, aren't they?
Yeah.
When I used to teach training classes all over the country, I wouldn't ever, for the first day, allow pens or pencils in class. Everybody had to use crayons just to completely...
Great.
Yeah, oh, it was so much fun. And adults, it's interesting how when you bring a group of adults back, or any adult for that matter, if you bring them back to the way they learned as a child,
mm-hmm.
they learn. Very interesting. I've attended so many seminars on that in my lifetime about how adults, if you can just get rid of the adult in the adult and bring them back to the kid, they'll pick up a crayon and actually learn what they're supposed to learn with a crayon or M&Ms or whatever. I'm curious what you actually do with the M&Ms from bag to bag.
What we do with the M&Ms is, after we have our six categories, whatever they would be, areas of priorities in our life that we want to focus on, adult or child, then what we do is we create a chart that has each of these different categories, and we have a column for, these are my past successes in this category. What have I successfully achieved in this category? If it's financial, in the past, it took me 6 months to save up $1,000. You know, for a child, it would be a smaller increment. So what is it financially in the past that you succeeded at? Where are you currently? What are the challenges right now, or let's just say your status right now? Where are you right now? Okay, well, I don't have as much in savings. I might have a little bit more bills. It's like a reality check. Where am I right now? And then what are my challenges to overcome where I am right now? What are some viable solutions that I can, with my knowledge and my wherewithal at this moment, sitting in this chair, what can I do to improve upon my financial priority? What is it that I want to accomplish? What can I do about it? And then the things that I need help with, who do I go to? So later on in point four, we have, you know, teaming with positive people, which we go into that even more so. But at least we're looking at, okay, these are areas that I'm choosing, six areas I'm choosing to be responsible for. And these are the past successes. This is where I am right now. These are the challenges I'm running into. And these are the people or the resources I need to go after for closure. And so in that finding, in that bag, let's say the financial is your green M&Ms, what you do is each one of the challenges represents a green M&M. And so when you taking care of that challenge, well, then you eat that green M&M. And now you only have maybe five challenges around that area of priority. So to set up at, you know, some people only set up 3 points in their green M&M bag. Like, okay, I have these three areas of challenges under finances. I've got my bills, my debt, I've got my kids and my tuition, I've got my savings or not savings. So, you know, I try to tell people don't go more than 6 or 7 because it can become overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And every week you go through these bags, whether it's on Sunday or on Monday, and you go through. And what happens is that every night when you look at your six areas of priorities and what you need to work on, your subconscious goes to work before you go to bed on processing solutions.
You know, what's really interesting about this to me is that it's it really follows some of the research that they've done with trauma. Mm-hmm. And you found such a great way of making change fun and light by distracting someone from the intensity of it by using the M&Ms. It's a great idea. It's very smart. And it fits with what the research says, too, about, you know, if we distract ourselves from the obvious intensity of what's happening, we can cope with it better. So by making it light and childlike, our association is much more positive. So I think it's really great. What a great idea.
Thank you. And I really appreciate you saying that. I really do, Katie, because when my kids and I went into hiding because of my ex wanting to hurt me, I found as they were little that I continually used, even in raising them, you know, when your child is running to the outlet, pick them up and redirect. That was something, it's not like I read a book on it. It was just something that somehow that type of conclusion, redirect into something better, redirect that energy, redirect that attitude, distract, mm-hmm. as you say, distract over discipline, and except where it's necessary and appropriate. But my son, when he saw Will Smith's movie, Pursuit of Happiness.
Oh, yeah, what a great movie. Yep.
My son had asked, he said, he watched it 3 times, which I was like, wow, he's watching it 3 times. Okay, it's a great movie. Then I finally saw it. And then he brought up, you know, Mom, we were homeless, weren't we? And I go, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I waited. I was not going to tell the kids the reality of what we had gone through because it would be better for them to eventually share their perception and their conclusion and me wait it out than me to say, hey, by the way, this is what we went through. And and so when he asked me that question, I just kind of held my breath because as a parent, you wonder, do you make right decisions? What are the consequences 10 years later? Or the rewards? And I said, you know, honey, you're right. He goes, kind of like Will Smith and his son in the train station, and you turned it into an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, thank you, Lord.
Yeah. You know, I've got, there's so much that makes up Angelina. And I want to go here for a second with you because you don't just have one website. You have like 5, 6, 7. There's a lot of them. And of all the things that you're working on right now, which one's at the forefront? Because there's enterprisingcouples.com, there's the reddresssociety.com, there's mompreneurs.com, there's angelinamusick.com, and intelligentnetwear.com. Of all of those right now, if you wanted to spend maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes picking out one, which one would it be that you would talk about?
I would probably say at this point, I would, oh, geez. you know, I thought I had a quick answer. It came to me, but then my brain started processing.
Well, it comes back.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the reason why I asked that question, I was trying to sort of dovetail off the experience of you being a domestic violence survivor. And I know you're really passionate about that, but lately it seems also that you're talking a lot about your couples therapy.
Yeah, I think if I were to point to one website, which I'm redoing, it would end up being angelinamusic.com, which is really, mm-hmm. okay, the core of who I am, and the rest is our external outputs or representations.
Yeah.
And it comes through all the other sides are an extension of what I have experienced and how I'm helping people through them, but the core would be Angelina Music. The Enterprising Couples, Daniel and I, now Daniel was the one in 1999 that helped connect me to a resource in Washington State when I did go into hiding with the kids. Mm-hmm. And so we've gone through a lot as a couple, and these last 2 years have been years of reconciliation, thank God. Mm-hmm. And last year we moved forward with Enterprising Couples because we started to, and then we did a shift. We started to because we realized that there is very little help for couples that are entrepreneurs from those that offer counseling services, especially if they're not an entrepreneur themselves. So the dynamics of...
The dynamics of an entrepreneurial family are nuts, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah.
We kept being told when we would go to counseling, well, why don't you guys chill on being entrepreneurs and get jobs? And, well, that wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
So we went through a number of challenges in our personal relationship because business is personal. If things are not right in your personal life, they're going to seep into your professional life, and you're going to affect your sales, your attitude, your customer service, all those things. So Enterprising Couples, we started moving forward with, and then we looked at the market niche as far as the marketing piece of it, and we thought, you know what, it's here. We're going to hang on just a minute.
You're ahead of your time, though, I think, with that one.
Yeah. We developed, it's called the Enterprising Cycle. And the Enterprising Cycle are 14 chapters which have the Believe and Achieve woven into it. Mm-hmm. And so what we've been doing right now with mompreneurs and mentorpreneurs is we have the men's version and the women's version being created.
Right.
And it's an online program that individuals will be able to go through at their pace, addressing totally around brain science.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of excerpts from the experts out there that we've been learning from. And it's totally transformational so that as individuals, you have better information, better understanding on why you do what you do, and how it affects how you parent, how you love each other, how you come to whatever conclusion, why you pay clients that don't pay you, why are you hanging...
That's a mystery, isn't it?
I know.
Don't
like,
go there. Don't go
that?
There. That's a whole other phone call.
Yeah. And it's because, oh, I really want this to work. And so I'll accept anybody's word being yes, not understanding that they're actually a pseudo-self. You're not talking to the real person. You're talking to the version, a version of a person, but not necessarily the real person. And that's where choosing partners in relationships is detrimental when we jump in too quickly, which is what I did with my first marriage, which ended up being a difficult situation. You know, if I would have
yeah.
Yeah, if I would have given 6 to 8 months and we would have become best friends first and we would have hung around each other, around other people, so I see how he interacts with other people, if I would have taken the time to understand, wow, he's not really getting along with my parents too well, red flag. Okay, he spent too much time with me too quickly, red flag.
Right.
If you're an insecure person like I was, and you didn't, you know, I didn't have much of a voice growing up, and my opinion didn't matter that much, and then you're dating an individual who just wants to listen to you talk, 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 talk. Red flag. It's not a balanced conversation. You know, the woman is desperate because she hasn't had anybody listen to her. The guy is desperate. He hasn't had anybody to spend any time with, so they're just happy to be together for the most unhealthy reasons. They don't have a clue. So just the whole awareness aspect has been incredible in being able, and again, Katie, as you know, there has been very little science over the last 20, 30 years, but over the last 3 to 5 years, where we now have filmed footage of the brain response mechanism, we have brain chemistry tests, like we can take diagnostics on our car to find out what's wrong. We can now isolate what chemical in the brain is out of whack. And like for me with the car wreck, my serotonin was off the chart. And that's why I couldn't sleep. And that's why, as my daughter said, you're super ADD. And that's why it was hard for me to focus. And my dopamine was so low. And again, it was a result of the head trauma. So when I got on a natural serotonin inhibitor and dopamine exciter, within 3 days, my teacups in my brain were level. They were not spilling over. And a friend of mine in Austin has a clinic, Neurogistics, where you can take your brain chemistry test. And so when we're dealing with why do we do what we do, get into the relationships that we do, take on the clients like we do, why do we handle certain situations with our spouses as a couple, whether one or both of us are in business or, you know, we just have jobs? Where is that reactive behavior coming from? When we are aware, then we can put words to that awareness and we develop an emotional vocabulary that says, I'm mad because, and then I told Daniel, I go, no, okay, you're mad. What flavor of mad are you? Are you frustrated? Are you annoyed? What flavor of mad or what color of mad? What kind of mad are you? When we're happy, are we an excited happy? Are we, I'm going to laugh because I'm going to pee my pants happy? What kind of happy are we? And the difference between men's vocabulary and women's vocabulary is huge. And that's why the school system is now being challenged, because the educational system was developed for girls, not for boys.
You know, and, it's so... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well,
you
what I was
going to me because I'll keep going on and on with all this fun stuff I'm learning.
So well,
this
is just so
there.
Fun because I used to do work with kids with ADD or ADHD, and much of what I did I would describe as train the brain. We used to play train the brain because they have different kind of brain chemistry. And oftentimes what we do is when you do, it's the age-old story of do you change the way you think, do you change the behavior, which comes first, the cart or the horse, you know, whatever you want to say that, but you got to do both. And so I'm I'm fascinated by what your ways of training the brain in couples therapy, because it's such a great way of thinking about any behavior change, because it's holistic. It's everything. It's not just one dimensional. Can you talk a little more about that? Because I just am fascinated by that.
You're right. It is multidimensional, because when we look at our mind, what we say, what we do, our activities change the brain. It's not the brain that changes our activities. It's what we actively do, we deliberately do. And that goes back to, okay, I'm going to make a commitment, and I'm going to become now responsible in taking in and learning information that will help me refine my core value and belief system, which will help me make sure I'm on track with my passion, my vocation, which will remind me now when I look at people and they're acting silly, I have more empathy, because their reactive behavior comes from a wound as a child. And so in our strengths, for an example, I'm a very good strategist. That is one of my top strengths, and I am a visionary and futurist. And one exercise that I have all my clients take is I have them get the Strengths Finder book by Tom Rath, which is now replacing the Myers and Briggs. Catherine Briggs was, you know, her and her sister did the Myers and Briggs, and then 2004, I believe, is when Strength Finders came in, and she was also involved with that, and it focuses on your top strengths. Now, our strengths can also be our greatest offenders if they are not harnessed properly. Mm-hmm. Meaning, my strength in being a strategist came from being in a household where mom is German, my stepdad is from Guam. He came into my life when I was 3 years old. We have two extreme cultures. Mom's white, dad's brown. This is in the 70s when, you know, mixed racial marriages weren't as popular. So I had challenges going to an American school. I dressed funny. I had a brown dad. And my mom sent me to school with boiled eggs as snacks. Not too popular in American school. So I had challenges there that I had to continually figure out, how do I respond to these, I call them darts, that were being thrown my way. Words, not nice words. How do I deflect crud being sent my way, whether it's from the children or the student? So that was one area I had to cope with at school as a young child. At home, mom's expectations coming from the refined German culture, dad's expectations coming from the Guamanian culture where he grew up on a farm, much less refined. So when one of them tells me to do something, and as a child you want to please both parents, how do you listen to both at the same time when their expectations are totally different? And they're clueless on what's going on. So as a child, I'm put in a double bind. I want to please mom. I want to please dad. So on that day, in that hour, that period of time, who has the better mood for me to disappoint, where if I let them down, the discipline won't be as harsh?
I have to interrupt us. Angelina, I have to interrupt you for a minute, and I'm very sorry because I know you're on a train of thought, but we only have 15 minutes left, and I need to sort of keep the conversation a little bit more so that we get everything about you out there, so that over the next 7 weeks or so that we can kind of continue on. And so I want to break because our time is running out. Can you finish that story and then just let me break into some other topics?
Definitely.
So that I get all the questions that we have for you out, so that we can introduce you for, you know, so that you can be set up to tell your stories over the next 7 weeks. Because otherwise we aren't going to get like who you are totally. Okay, go for it. Sorry.
Okay. The reason I bring this story up is because these are the challenges, the ways that I had to learn how to cope.
Right.
And out of that, as an adult, comes these different websites where I look at these are the different ways in which people can be helped through Mompreneurs, Women in Business, through Intelligent Network, in technology, because technology in media allows us to reach a faster audience, a greater audience faster, through enterprising couples, because it goes back to what were the dynamics in the household I grew up with, which I know I'm not alone in this, where there were conflicting expectations between mom and dad that put a child in a very, very difficult position.
Right.
That's why we have the enterprising couples, because we want to help couples bridge that gap through awareness so they become better parents, better spouses, better friends, and better entrepreneurs, so their business success rate is higher. And then through the enterprising cycle, which is, you know, people are responsible for their own change, their own self-transformation, and that's where we will have that set up in Mompreneurs, and we're actually going to have the mentorpreneurs go through it first, because we want to get our men in this country on track and aware sooner than later. Mm-hmm. And so we have the men, they can actually start going through it on the Mentorpreneurs website. And it all comes back to the transformational thinking, which leads to your behaviors and attitudes and who you are as a person. It's redefining and transforming, becoming your more truer self, which is how you were as a child, but with adult conclusions and adult behaviors, and actually growing up.
So it's kind of the strong and broken places kind of concept? Is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry, say that again.
It's like the strong in broken places concept.
Uh-huh.
That really what you're saying is that you, in order to be a mompreneur or any of the things you've described, it's repairing those broken places is what a lot of people I've heard it described by doing
right.
it. And I love that you're doing it in a childlike manner. That's
Thank
really
you.
What I Yeah. What I really like, Angela, and I've known you for a long time. I don't know how many years we've known each other now, and you've seen just, yeah, exactly. And one of the things that I'm trying to have come across with this phone call is that everything about you, it could be any website that you would set up. Sorry, I'm the one coughing now. Excuse me. It's all ties back into those seven principles for anybody. Any website that, or any theory that you have out there, or anything that anybody's going to experience with you, those seven principles are woven throughout in anything
you're
you do.
Exactly right, and you know, I had thought, you know, this is like wash, rinse, and repeat. It's like when we wash our hair.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we're getting all the crud out, and we're just repeating it, and it is through repetition. It's greatly through awareness. And even before that is we need to be at a point where we're open. And sometimes, I mean, there are those of us who say, I will read what I need to read. I will do what is required to make me a better person, because we are naturally inquisitive and we want to be the best that we can be. We want to be our best ever. And we naturally fall into that. Then there are those of us that need to have a brick knocked on our head where a spouse says, okay, look, either we fix this or we are no longer we and it's just me. So you have to make a choice, whoever that might be on whatever side of the party, which is part of the ultimatum that we had in our reconciliation process between Daniel and I.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a choice, it's a responsibility, totally doable, doesn't have to be long and exhaustive and depressing and drawn out. It can be fun
and filled with M&Ms.
Yeah, and you get to eat some chocolate along the way for Skittles.
Exactly. Top it off with a little chocolate. I want to, if we can, go back to Mom. I still cannot say this word.
Mom,
you know, I've known you forever, and
Mom,
I cannot say it. Say it again.
Mom-trepreneurs.
That's a funny
tripping,
thing.
Tripping. Remember, we're tripping. We're not mompreneurs. We're mompreneurs.
We're tripping all over ourselves today.
Yeah.
I love that website. It's the very first thing that drew us together.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And could you describe a little bit what that is exactly for those people who just, in case there's one person in America who doesn't know who you are? I doubt it, but.
Well, Mompreneurs initially was started as a private thing, one-to-one, when my kids were 3 and 5, and I had a registered home child care, and I was helping women move their businesses forward. In 2003, Daniel and I decided we will go ahead and take what I did on an intimate, private level and bring it to the web and do the radio show. And within that first year, we had 2 million women internationally. And what I did is I combined my entertainment background with psychology, with business. And so at our events, we filmed the women. It was we didn't compete with any other organizations because I didn't do what we were. My focus was personal transformation, capturing it and pushing it out there and marketing it in the media, TV and radio. And so the women in the group, in a very short window, experienced a financial return on investment, plus people at the stores would come up to them and go, I saw you on TV. So now they were becoming micro-celebrities. So building their belief systems was really core in teaching them. It's fun. The process of what Mompreneurs is now, because I decided to put it on idle once the car wreck happened, I didn't feel that I could be diligent in my responsibilities and the goals I had for it when I was, you know, a Happy Meal short order of fries. So we put it on idle, and in its current status right now, we encourage women to go to the website to register, and we are in the process of moving forward with the Mompreneurs movie. And June, we start a 5,000-mile journey, 3 coasts. Daniel's going to bicycle 5,000 miles for Mompreneurs and Mentorpreneurs.
Wow.
And we're going to bring awareness. So we'll start at the tip of Washington State all the way down to Texas and then up to where you guys are at in Maine by September.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And we're going to be filming women, so the role is women are going to be filmed that are going to be rolled into the movie, and the men are going to be going through the transformational process for Mentorpreneurs. So we're encouraging men to bicycle for a day, a month, a week, whatever they can or want to, so they can benefit from this transformational process. And I'm going to be interviewing the women. We have stories. You guys have stories. We all have stories. And these stories, when other women see that and experience it, we want them to not feel alone. We want them to feel, oh, she went through that too. And it doesn't have to be around trauma or drama. It's just that there's so many flavors of stories out there of women who have started their businesses or have lost their businesses that we want to document and cover. And in the process, I'm going to weave in how I used entrepreneurship to fund myself out of domestic violence so that women do feel empowered. They're not stuck. mm-hmm. in that they don't need to just rely on the current system. There are ways that they can fund themselves into a better life as well as transform their thinking into a better future for themselves and for their children.
What do you think is the hardest part about being an entrepreneur? I know you and I had a really, I think I called you at about month six a few years back, and I was like, how am I going to do this, Angelina? Remember that?
Oh, fear.
I have had some interesting conversations over the years, but what seriously is the biggest part about being an entrepreneur that you think is?
I think for most people is that their belief system gets in the way. They have the wrong information going through their head, so they're making wrong decisions based on wrong information, and that's where the Believe and Achieve program comes through, because we want them to make right decisions based on right information, because that will bear truer the results that they can look forward to versus failures that maybe otherwise, if they had better information, they could have prevented. So it goes back to their belief systems, their perception, their core values, the passion that they're choosing to monetize. Is it the right one, or is it what somebody else told them? The people that they're around, the choices they make on a consistent basis, on living life deliberately, and then focusing on follow-through incrementally of those.
There's my seven.
You need to do. Yep. And
can
then
I have
celebrating
my M&M?
Their achievements, yes, and giving back. And that's what the Red Dress
yeah.
Society is about. It's about
recognizing
women.
Oh, gosh, we didn't even talk about that. Oh,
recognizing women
Red
behind
dresses.
Social causes. Yeah. So we'll get to that. Because it's part of it.
Yeah, I think
you guys are awesome.
Can you tell, just so people get that website and real fast, what is Red Dress Society again? Just briefly, because we've got a few minutes left.
Yeah, RedDressSociety.com is celebrating women behind social causes. There are many women who are incredible, whether it's a social enterprise or a nonprofit. It doesn't have to be a nonprofit, but we want to recognize these women. But in the process, we're filtering which women should be properly recognized. And so there is a campaigning for your cause aspect of it, where a page is set up, and then women are to campaign for their cause, which is send out a press release and encourage people to share their experience with their cause. So it could be a recipient of that cause, not just the sponsors or their friends and families. And so we just had our event last Friday for the women in Oregon, and it is just beautiful, the comments that these women share, because they sacrifice a lot to make positive stuff happen, to make an impact in other people's lives. And so we're helping market them. And I told them, I go, we had 20 nominees, and there's seven
wow.
of you that have awards. And the other ones, they didn't do what was required to campaign for their cause. So when a philanthropist says, hey, I got $5,000, he's going to go to the women that shook their groove to make some stuff happen to give that money to, not those that didn't. So we filter that, hoping we can help philanthropists say, okay, I have money, where do I put it?
Yeah. Well,
here's where you put it.
We've had a great hour with you, and I can't wait for the upcoming weeks. We've got you scheduled for most Tuesdays coming up. I think there's one there that's not going to happen, but we're going to reschedule one of them. So we look forward to talking to you basically every Tuesday for the next 7 or 8 weeks or so. And thank you so much for being here today with us. Angelina
Thank
Nusik,
you
everybody.
So much.
Thank you
Thank
for
you
all
so
you're
much
doing
for having
well,
me.
Angelina.
These ladies are awesome.
Thank you. We think you're the awesome one. So it's always a joy to talk to you and follow you on Facebook and Twitter and all of your websites and so forth. So we'll talk to you again, I think, it's either next week or the week after.
Thank you so much, ladies. Have an awesome week. I will talk to you 1 week from now. Countdown begins.
All right. Bye-bye now.
All right,
thank
you.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. She's so full of information, isn't she? It's just she's got such great ideas. It's hard when you get with that much to them in 1 hour. It's going to take 7 weeks to get it all out of her. But all right, we've got 5 seconds left. Do your thing. Have a best ever day.
Have a best ever day.
All right. Bye.
Bye.